This week, we ask the question, is honesty the best policy? Or is there something else? Then we'll hear about an organized protest in 1874 from the nefarious Ezra A. Cook. What was he protesting and why? We'll dive into this and uncover the proverbial storm over a corner-laying ceremony. All this and a little bit more in this episode of Whence Came You. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
Welcome back. This is episode number 509. I want to thank the contributors, the fellows, producers, and legacy partners. Without you, we can't make this program. And if you're interested in how you can help bring Masonic education to the rest of the world, visit WCYpodcast.com and click on Support the Show. Check out the options there, as well as any of the other products that we offer in limited quantities to assist this program out. Whether those be books or pins, all of those things, they're on our website under the shop as well. So check it out. I want to give a big shout out to Brother Darren Laners, who invited me down to come see Steve Harrison present at Homer Masonic Lodge, and it was a fantastic evening. If you've never seen Brother Steve Harrison do a presentation, well, you're missing out. Next time you see him do something, or if you figure out a time where you can go visit a lodge that's having him out, do yourself a favor and check it out. A big thanks to them also. They elected me as an honorary member, along right next to illustrious Brother Harrison. So there we were in the East, called up, and we were given honorary memberships. It was really cool and tremendous honor, of course, to be part of a great lodge like Homer with a lot of great history here in Illinois. And what was really interesting, too, is Todd Creason is a member there. Greg Knott is a member there. Darren's a member there. Steve is an honorary member there. I'm an honorary member there. And Brian L. Pettis is a member there. It's almost like it's the Midnight Freemasons Lodge. But I digress. It was a great meeting, a great presentation, great fellowship, all around awesome. And no sooner did I come back to my neck of the woods on Tuesday, hung out Wednesday, and then I flew to Atlanta, Georgia on Thursday evening to present and flew home on Friday. So I want to thank Pythagoras Lodge in Atlanta, Georgia for the hospitality and especially worshipful brother Andy Frazier. Everything you guys did to make this day awesome, and it was just so great. Something else I would also say is that if you ever get the chance to visit Pythagoras Lodge, you must do it. This lodge is incredible, you guys. Just beautiful, and the membership is awesome there too. But if you're a fan of these old Masonic temples, this is a great one because it's in great shape. And really, the brothers have been wonderful stewards of that lodge, and really awesome. The acoustics are amazing. The room is huge. It's got edge-to-edge tiled floor. I mean, it's just incredible. You can check out, I think I posted a picture of it on Instagram. So thanks to those guys. Now, I wanted to start off this week by reading a really quick thing I found in the Illinois Lodge of Research, Volume 1, Number 7, page 258. It's really short. I'm really not sure. I think these were like quips taken from the annual meeting, but really interesting nonetheless. So it's titled something that would make us be kind of shocked. And it says, honesty is not the best policy. I thought, well, really? What's that about? And when I turn to the page, it's only like one paragraph. And it says, we often hear that a good rule to follow in life is honesty is the best policy. This is especially announced when someone gets caught doing something he or she should not have done. I do not like this rule because there is an inference that it is the best policy to be honest, so you will not get caught and then punished. I have a much better rule, which is more in keeping with the basic principles of Freemasonry. Honesty is the only policy. If you follow this rule, you will never put yourself in a position of considering the risk of being caught if you do something that you ought not to do. And that's it. just that little blurb. No attributed line to who it was written by, but it does sure sound a lot like Samuel Clemens or Mark Twain, who said, just tell the truth, that way you never have to remember anything. As in, if you tell the truth all the time, you don't have to remember lies that you made up. It sounds remarkably similar to that sentiment from Brother Twain. So just based on that little quip, I want to ask our Craftsman Plus a question. Have you ever been caught in a lie? Now, no judgment. We all tell lies here and there, little white lies or big lies, whatever. We've all done them, whether we were young, old, made a mistake, whatever it was. And I'm not asking you to go into detail, but tell about a time you may have been put on the spot and how it felt, and if you have any resolve that came up afterward. I'll certainly add mine in the comments. Now, the first piece for this week, real piece anyway, is called A Storm Over a Cornerstone Laying Ceremony. It was by Alphonse Cerza. It appears in Volume 2, Number 5 of the Illinois Lodge of Research, on page 360. The Great Chicago Fire of 1871 left the post office and the United States Custom House homeless. The post office moved a number of times during the ensuing years. On August 23, 1874, it moved to the basement of the Honor Building, located at Dearborn and Adams Street at the time. Other federal offices in the city were located in various parts of the business district. It was dedicated by the federal government to erect a building for the federal agencies located in Chicago to be called the Customs House and Post Office Building, on the block bounded by Clark, Dearborn, Jackson, and Adams Street. June 24, 1874 was selected as the day for laying the cornerstone for the building. When it was announced, some months before the ceremony was to take place, that the Masonic fraternity was to lay the cornerstone for the building, a group of misinformed persons living in Syracuse, New York, sent to the President of the United States an objection reading as follows, quote, "To His Excellency, U.S. Grant, President of the United States of America, the undersigned citizens of the United States, learning through public announcement that it is proposed to lay the cornerstone of the new government building in Chicago with Masonic ceremonies on the 24th day of June, next St. John's Day, so called respectfully, represent that under our Constitution and laws, no society, sect, or order is entitled to official preferment or precedent over any other order, sect, or society, and they, therefore, do earnestly protest that the order to which it is thus proposed to delegate a work of national interest should not be allowed such recognition, either through its festivals or its rites and ceremonies, which are offensive to the great body of the American people." End quote. This item is set forth in full in the Chicago Tribune of June 23, 1874. President Grant was not a Mason, but several members of his family were Masons, and he held a favorable opinion of the fraternity. For several weeks before the ceremony, articles on the subject appeared in the Chicago Tribune, and there were many letters printed which were received from readers. Most, if not all, were the result of the agitation created by the National Christian Association, a group with headquarters in Chicago lacking in Christian charity, with one of its leaders, Ezra A. Cook, writing a number of such letters. The association was formed a few years before the express purpose of oppressing quote-unquote secret societies. Many prominent Masons from all over the country attended the ceremony. President Grant had planned to attend but was unable to do so. In his place came Judge Henry W. Blodgett, and he took part in the ceremony. The cornerstone was to be laid at the northeast corner of the Dearborn and Adams Streets. Soon after, 10 o'clock in the morning of June 24, 1874, federal, state, county, and municipal officers, employees of the Customs House, and post office employees, military, civic, and various fraternal organizations, together with many school children, began to assemble in the business area of the city for the purpose of being a part of the parade marching to the site. There were thousands of persons in the parade and thousands more lined along the streets as spectators. Certain unpleasant aspects were reported in the Chicago Tribune the next day, as follows, quote, "A man with a linen coat was posted at the corner of Adams and Dearborn Streets, facing the Masons with a banner on which was inscribed, down with Masonic favoritism and up with equal rights. An anti-Masonic proclamation by Philo Carpenter in handbill form was also handed to people as the procession passed along Wabash Avenue. At the end of the article, which appeared in the Chicago Tribune, was an appendix containing a letter to the editor written by Ezra A. Cook. He found fault with a letter apparently sent to the editor some days before in which it was stated that George Washington, as Grand Master, had officially laid the cornerstone of the nation's capital with Masonic ceremony. Cook called attention to a book written by General Phelps entitled Secret Societies, which could be purchased for 50 cents from the Western News Company, which he stated contained proof that Washington, at the time of laying the cornerstone, was not Grand Master, but had been only master of his lodge. Consequently, Cook concluded that Washington could not have participated in the ceremony as a Mason, but only as a President of the United States. He failed to realize that Washington may have been named as the provisional Grand Master for the purpose of the ceremony. Cook also failed to state that Washington, at the time of that ceremony, wore Masonic regalia, and thus his contention loses any validity. The National Christian Association for weeks planned an extensive protest for the occasion, and many of its members were all over the business area along the route of the parade with large placards attached to long poles, borne high to be seen by the spectators containing derogatory statements about Freemasonry. For hours, the parade was seen by thousands of persons lined along the streets of the business section of the city. Many Masonic lodges and Masonic organizations were part of those in the parade. The Masonic ceremony started at 1 o'clock. The main officers performing the ceremony were James Hawley as Grand Master, George E. Lounsbury as Deputy Grand Master, Joseph Robbins, Senior Grand Warden, William J. A. Delancey as Junior Grand Warden. The cornerstone weighed a little over 5 tons, and a couple of iron shafts were placed in the upper surface to allow the hooks of the derrick to grapple with the immense weight and lift it into position. Before the stone was raised, 3 large candles were placed on it, and some colorful flowers were also placed on top so that the stone looked like a conqueror crowned with the laurels of victory, surrounded with roses of love. The engineer applied pressure of 60 pounds of steam, and the stone was easily raised and put into place. The usual and customary Masonic cornerstone laying ceremony was conducted. The principal architect, J.R. Rankin, took part in the ceremony. The grand chaplain, the Reverend J. E. Forrester, offered a prayer. The Apollo Musical Club chanted an invocation composed for the occasion. The following items were in the metal box placed in the center of the stone. 1. A memorial plate of pure native copper inscribed with the names of the principal United States, state and municipal officers present, or who had signed their intention to be present on the occasion. A parchment roll inscribed with the names of the principal officers of the organizations taking part in the ceremonies. 2. A Declaration of Independence, Constitution of the United States, Acts of Congress making appropriations for the purchase of the site, and the erection of the building. 3. Constitution of the State of Illinois, Map of the State of Illinois, List of the State Officers, Engraving of the New State House. 4. List of County Officers, 5 pictures of the proposed building. 6. Proceedings of 1873 of the Grand Lodge of Masons, Grand Chapter of Masons, Illinois, Grand Council of Masons, Illinois, Grand Commandery of Masons, Illinois, General Grand Chapter of Masons, U.S., General Grand Encampment of Masons, U.S., and Supreme Council. 7. Proceedings of the Grand Lodge and Encampment of Odd Fellows, Grand Lodge of Knights of Pythias. 8. Directory of Chicago, Account of First Post Office in Chicago, Map of Chicago, 1874. Proceedings of the Board of Public Works, Education, Police, Parks, Board of Trade, Relief Committee, Comptroller's Report. 9. Copy of the program and all papers connected with laying of the cornerstone, Daily Papers of Chicago, List of organizations attending the ceremonies, copies of the United States bonds, all denominations unsigned, United States Treasury notes, all denominations unsigned, United States gold, silver, and copper coinage. After the formal ceremony, the Grand Master delivered an appropriate oration. 3 guns were fired, the Apollo Club sang America, and the benediction of the Grand Chaplain ended the ceremony. Well, how about that? a really interesting look at what happened back in 1874. When I saw the title of the article, I initially thought like maybe there was like some crazy storm that happened, but he was, you know, speaking metaphorically about a storm that happened when a group of protesters didn't want to see a Masonic organization gain favor and laying a cornerstone for this state building and government building. What's funny is also we hear a name that I hope many of you know, and that's Ezra A. Cook. Now, Ezra A. Cook is a known publisher of several Masonic exposés. In fact, you know, we really love to hate the guy, but his book actually was kind of the official standard work for Illinois unofficially. His books are in every single Masonic lodge in Illinois, in the archives or in safes, or, you know, you find them inside the libraries. They're expose books, and, you know, I've collected several of his. He was known to publish these books on several different secret organizations. I would put air quotes around secret. And they're really interesting, and he offers some commentary in each one. And he never has anything great to say about Freemasonry, but it is interesting. So, next time you go out to your lodge, see if you have some Ezra A. Cook exposés for our Craftsman Plus. Kind of a fun question. Do you have any exposés from Ezra A. Cook? I can tell you right now, I have a few, and I'll put it in the Craftsman Plus also, but I'll just tell you. So the first one I have is called The Handbook of Freemasonry, and it says Ronayne, Revised Edition. And on the spine, it's called Ronayne's Handbook. Now, Ronayne isn't the publisher, right? If you open up the book, it is published by Ezra A. Cook Publications, P.O. Box 796, Chicago, 90, Illinois, 1958. So this company, it was still back in 1870s, well into the 20th century, is producing materials. And it's called Ronayne's Handbook of Freemasonry with appendix, revised, enlarged, and complete. And it starts off with an author's preface from 1904 that talks about the Chicago fire. Another edition I have is The Handbook of Freemasonry by Ronayne. It's a little bit larger of a book. And, of course, it is also published by Ezra A. Cook, Chicago, and it's one of those cloth-bound editions. This one, in particular, was published a few years earlier in 1925. A smaller version I have that has like a plastic-ish kind of cover is published in 1956, and it's called King Solomon's Temple or Exe Orienti or Esse Orienti, Steps 1, 2, 3, Illinois. And it is also published by Ezra A. Cook Publications. And the copyright on this one is 1946. And what's interesting is this one has a little square and compass on the cover, and it was purchased at Crocs and Brentano's for $3.50. I have another copy of the same book. It's called Esse Orienti, or Rites and Ceremonies of the Essenes, National Series, and it's published by the Reading Masonic Supply Company, but is the same exact text, but it's in code. That's it for this week. I know it's a shorter episode. I am dying of allergies. The amount of sneezes that I have to cut out of this episode while recording is insane. So if you stuck with me this long, I want to say thanks. I hope my voice wasn't too annoying for you, being stuffed up and all that. But we wanted to make sure we get some education out there for you all. And once more, a big thanks to our producers, fellows, contributors for all of your assistance. And please tell your friends about the show. Get it out there. We've got lodges out there where we've got members coming in and they're loving it, but they want a little bit more education. This is what we make the show for. And for brothers who can't attend lodge, and is also just supplemental to any other Masonic education that's out there. I want to say thank you to everybody out there who has given us some kudos as the Masonic Education Committee here in Illinois. With our committee, we recently published The Lyceum, a newsletter / magazine for Masonic education in the state of Illinois. So if you're out there and you're listening to this and you're an Illinois Mason, this is not just for area education officers or district education officers or lodge education officers. It's for all Master Masons. And with this publication, you all can be on the same page and really have programming and articles and topics for discussion at your disposal every single month. So there's that. I hope you guys enjoyed. Check it out. It's on our website as well, ilmason.org. Click on member resources. Click on Masonic Education, and you'll see it right there. So that's it. I want to thank you all for coming with me one more time, and we'll talk to you all next week. Until then, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson. Take care.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.